ويعمل في إزالتها. It is incumbent among every person of intelligence that he carefully look over his weakness in regards to following his or her religion, thoughts, etiquette, and that of his or her interaction with other people. And he or she should either record these in heart or write them down, and then he or she should strive to remove all of these bad habits from himself or herself.
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
Again, in relation to people who always look at the weakness and faults of other people, Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, كفى بالمرء عيبا أن يبصر من الناس ما يعمى عنه من نفسه. Sufficient is a person's own defect in himself that he tries to pick and look for faults in other people, when himself has those same faults in himself or herself and doesn't recognize them. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi sentence is just in line with these narrations, and their point is that if those who pick faults of others would spend the same energy that they use in looking at bad habits in others and through which they reproach others, and correcting themselves and looking at their own defects and trying to recognize their own souls, imagine what level of happiness they would be able to reach. That is what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is warning us about, and in order for us to come to a deeper understanding of our real value.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah.
In the limelight.
Shares of U.S. regional banks PacWest, Bancor and Western Alliance Bank plunged on Tuesday 2nd of May as the demise of the First Republic Bank triggered investor concerns about the financial health of other mid-sized lenders. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. J.P. Morgan Chase's move to acquire most of First Republic Bank's assets this week hasn't stemmed investor concerns about the financial prospects for other regional lenders. The stock prices of Comerica, PacWest Bancorp, Western Alliance Bank, and Zions Bank shares fell sharply on Tuesday, 2nd of May, as attention shifted to other financial players that could be at risk of the startling bank runs that have taken down the First Republic, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank in recent weeks. Wall Street is quickly hitting the sell button as banking turmoil appears it is not going away anytime soon and is ready to focus on the next weakest link. Potentially distressed lenders with tremendous exposure to commercial real estate. Edward Moyer, a senior market analyst at Oanda, said in a research note. Shares of Los Angeles-based PacWest with $44 billion in assets plunged 28%, while Western Alliance Bank, with total assets of $65 billion, their shares tumbled 15%. The KBW Regional Bank Index fell 5.5% on the day and is down 28% this year. The sell-off comes just one day after JPMorgan Chase won a government bid to take over most of the assets of First Republic Bank, which was seized by bank regulators as part of the deal. JPMorgan Chase's Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon said on Monday that the emergency deal would help stabilize the banking industry, while warning that the turmoil affecting mid-size and small lenders could continue. Investors aren't withdrawing from PacWest and Western Alliance Bank for the same reasons they ditched Silicon Valley Bank, said Adam Kisafudi, an analyst at Vital Knowledge. In March, customers pulled their money out because of concerns the banks could be on the hook for hefty losses, Kisafudi said in a research note. That is not spurring the selling now, he said. Instead, the anxiety today is more philosophical, with people asking, why do you exist, with regards to many regional banks? For some investors, regional banks are becoming akin to stodgy brick-and-mortar retailers focused on selling non-perishable commodity products, Kisafudi added. Regional bank lenders say they've become collateral damage to Silicon Valley Bank's failure, but some banks showed signs of stress even before Silicon Valley Bank's collapse. PacWest Bancorp saw its deposits fall by $5.7 billion between January and March of this year. Kevin Thompson, the chief financial officer, said in an earnings call last week. Western Alliance Bank, which also posted earnings last week, reported $3.3 billion in deposit outflows. Despite the recent bank failures, officials from the U.S. Treasury Department, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and the Biden administration have repeatedly expressed confidence in the stability of the broader banking system in America. Yet investors have increasingly shunned banks that, like Silicon Valley Bank, have large amounts of uninsured deposits, accounts holding more than the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's $250,000 deposit insurance limit. Some banks have also been wrong-footed by rising interest rates, which have raised their costs at the same time that depositors have withdrawn funds in search of high-returning investments. The Reuters news agency has also covered this story and tells us more. Shares of U.S. regional banks PacWest Bank Corporation and Western Alliance Bank plunged on Tuesday, 2nd of May, as the demise of First Republic Bank triggered investor concerns about the financial health of other mid-sized lenders in the United States. JPMorgan Chase agreed on Monday to acquire a majority of First Republic Bank's assets in a $10.6 billion deal after regulators seized the lender, which became the largest U.S. bank failure since the 2008 financial crisis. Investors feared the latest turmoil, which began with the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in March, could spread to other regional banks in the U.S. The KBW Regional Banking Index fell to 5.5%, hitting its lowest level since December of 2020. If a confidence crisis can happen to First Republic Bank, it can happen to any bank in this country, said Jake Dollarhide, the chief executive officer of Longbow Asset Management. This is a potentially a big deal, which hopefully won't materialize to anything significant, he added. The shares of Los Angeles-based PacWest Bancorp tumbled by more than 27%, It is ranked 53rd among U.S. lenders, with $41.2 billion in assets as of the end of last year, according to the Federal Reserve data. The shares of Phoenix, Arizona-based lender Western Alliance, the number 40 U.S. bank with $68 billion in assets, sank 15%, while Cleveland, Ohio-based KeyCorp, the 20th largest bank in the U.S. with $188 billion in assets, fell 9%. Comerica, a Dallas, Texas-based bank, ranked 37th in the United States, the 37th lender with $86 billion in assets, fell by as much as 12%. Shares in Columbus, Georgia-based Synovus Financial Corporation, with $60 billion in assets and ranked 42nd in the United States, lost nearly 7%. Valley National Bank Corp., which owns Valley National Bank based in Passaic, New Jersey, and is the 43rd largest lender in the United States with $57 billion in assets, closed 3% lower after shedding more than 20% of its value on Monday. Historically, once you see a resolution of one institution, the market tends to go after who they view as the next weakest link, said Goldman Sachs regional banks analyst Ryan Nash. The exposure of regional banks to the commercial real estate sector, particularly office buildings that currently have high vacancy rates, has further heightened investor concerns that loan losses could pile up and exacerbate the current crisis amid rising interest rates. Regional banks with up to $250 billion in assets held about $1.1 trillion of commercial real estate loans, with maturities through to 2027 as of the end of last year, according to real estate data analytics firm TREP, Inc. There could be some haircuts on office loans, and that's a market where regional banks have a lot of exposure, Ryan Nash said. JP Morgan Chase's deal for First Republic's assets has ended risk of a contagion, some analysts say. But others noted the deal makes the biggest U.S. bank even bigger, raising the risk of a heightened too-big-to-fail problem that regulators have been trying to solve for years. While we think this deal underscores all of JP Morgan Chase's key strengths, we can't help but try to read into what it means if our biggest bank is the government's first line of defense, analysts at Evercore ISI wrote in a note. The U.S. Federal Reserve is expected to comment on the regional bank crisis at the end of its Federal Open Markets Committee meeting on Wednesday, with markets expecting a 25 basis point hike in the interest rates. The sell-off was driven by the threat of a higher interest rates making the situation even worse, said Phil Bancato, the chief executive officer of Ladenburg Thalmann Asset Management.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, where does the tiredness of the body come from? In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salaamu Alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you as my listener. In this topic, in this session, we're going to understand where the tiredness of the body comes from. Probably, some may feel a sluggish and tiredness, but they do not know how to restore their vigor and energy. And we are here to study the physical factors and also the psychological part. So, going through the first factor, which is the bodily factor, so we know them as the physical factor, the treatments of these conditions are done by a doctor and the recovery is from Allah, the Almighty, inshallah. But the second is the psychological factor. Many of these feelings of tiredness and sluggish comes from psychological factors. But actually, we do not have any problem in our body, but we have problem in our mind. So that's why we know them as psychological factor. It includes many things. For example, such as fear of a future. Fearing a future can make us feel sluggish and tired, or worry, or shocks of the wars, or traffic accidents, or big financial losses, or being insulted before others, or thinking of previous failures, and thinking of high ambition while worrying about our actual inability. All these factors make us feel tired, and this tiredness comes from a feeling of hopelessness in our heart. So it's very important to know the ways of healing this kind of feeling in our heart. And the next part, we are going to study together some of the ways of healing this kind of feeling in our heart in order to get rid of this tiredness, this psychological tiredness. Welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z on IRIB English Radio. I'm Farad, your host, and we were, in the previous part, we were talking about the psychological factor of feeling tiredness and hopelessness in our heart. And we can sum up them. But here in this topic, as I promised, we're going to study the most important way of healing and curing this kind of feeling and curing our heart. We mentioned that this kind of feeling comes from the mistakes of a man himself. So the cure is obtained by repenting and asking Allah for pardon and forgiveness. It would be better to start repenting and asking for pardon and forgiveness of Allah. It would be better for one to give people's rights back to them so that his conscience becomes revealed. Besides that, he must organize his time according to the religious obligations and activities of life. Here I draw your attention to an important point, and that is if you want to know the cause of your fatigue, whether it's physical or psychological, say if it disappears or lessens after sleeping, or if it continues. If the first case holds, most of the cases of your fatigue is physical, and if it is the second, most of the cause is psychological. So in this case, if a man watches himself well, he will know from what he suffers, whether physical or psychological problems. And if there are psychological problems, by having a very great hope in our heart and by relying on God and his faith, we can overcome all of these difficulties, and we should know that we are able to compass it to pass, and Allah the Almighty will help us. With this hope, we can overcome all the difficulties and make the hope revive in our heart.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Russia has accused Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin with drones in a failed assassination attempt to kill President Vladimir Putin, vowing retaliation for what it has called a terrorist attack. Moscow has said the two drones were used in the alleged attack on Putin's residence in the Kremlin's citadel overnight, adding that the drones were disabled by electronic defenses.
It is technically possible. Ukraine has several types of drones that can fit the profile. For example, its newly developed UJ-22 drone can actually fly the distance. It's a commercial drone that they acquired from China. It's Mugen 5 cargo drone, which can be basically purchased online and could be refitted into a military drone. That drone can fly several hundred kilometers, and it was used in previous attacks.
Kremlin statement said, "We regard these actions as a planned terrorist act and an attempt on the president's life carried out on the eve of Victory Day, the May 9 parade, at which the presence of foreign guests is also planned."
And of course, attacks of this kind, if they are in fact carried by Ukrainian military, are meant to keep the Russian military off balance by forcing them to reallocate and rededicate air defense resources to specific places like Moscow, probably at the expense of other regions, including, for example, Russian military inside Ukraine proper, that has to have enough air defense and electronic warfare protection.
Separately, the Speaker of Russia's parliament demanded the use of, quote, weapons capable of stopping and destroying the Kiev terrorist regime, response to the alleged attack on Kremlin. However, Ukraine denied any involvement in the alleged drone operation. Kiev has said the attack was, quote, staged by Moscow.
The Russians may try to leverage this narrative around an assassination on Putin to then up their game with regards to pretext to up their game to go after Zelensky himself. But they've been trying to do that anyway since the beginning of the war. There's plenty of reporting that indicates Russian kind of kill teams were out there trying to hunt down both Zelensky and his family. So it's mainly, I think, a rally around the flag effect that the Russians are going for.
Meanwhile, Ukraine says Russia has targeted cities in a new wave of missile strikes and shelling across the country. Officials and media outlets say multiple explosions were heard in the capital, Kiev, and elsewhere. Blasts caused by Russian shelling were also reported in the southern Zaporizhzhia region and the port city of Odessa. Kiev and some central and eastern Ukrainian regions have announced air alerts following the Russian statements accusing Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin. There are now some reports that Ukrainian forces have begun their counterattack in Bakhmut. Russian officials have said Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia will have no benefit and will only lead to more bloodshed. The U.S. and its allies have put much hope in the offensive. However, leaked documents show Western military officials do not expect Ukraine to regain as much territory. Ukrainian forces have also been using lots of manpower and other resources fighting in Bakhmut. The intensifying crisis comes amid fresh U.S. military aid to Ukraine. The U.S. is sending another $300 million military aid package to Ukraine, including, for the first time, short-range air-launched rockets, deepening its involvement in the war in defiance of repeated warnings by Russia. The package includes Hydra-70 rockets, which are unguided projectiles fired from aircraft. It also includes artillery rounds, 155-millimeter howitzer cannons, anti-tank missiles, and mortars. The Pentagon has also sent at least 20 high-mobility artillery rocket systems, HIMARS, to Ukraine. HIMARS systems, which are made by Lockheed Martin, are intended to be a core component of Ukraine's fighting force in the future. The package brings the total amount of U.S. military aid to about $36 billion. The U.S. is still drawing funds for military assistance to Ukraine from the $45 billion aid package that Congress authorized in December.
Running against Russia, being nasty to Russia, is very popular. But I'll tell you what's not popular. More than 60% of the American people do not like all the money we're spending on Ukraine. And the American media is not reporting that, and it's also not reporting that there's demonstrations are going every weekend in Europe, particularly in Germany. There's a lot of demonstrations, not about the pipeline, against the war, the money that's being spent on Ukraine, and the whole notion of that war, and the whole rationale for the war. And you can almost understand why Biden wanted to keep Germany from having the option to open the pipeline.
The $45 billion is expected to be exhausted by the summer, meaning the White House might ask Congress for more funds soon. The U.S. and its Western allies have kept feeding Ukraine with massive amounts of arms since the start of the war last year. Moscow has time and again warned that military assistance will only prolong the war.
A well-known resistance actor within the Palestinian prisoners movement, Hadar Adnan, has passed away on the 86th day of his hunger strike inside an Israeli prison following two decades of arrests. Hadar spent nearly a fifth of his life behind bars, arrested 12 times by Israeli forces and subjected to over 8 years of captivity. He used hunger strikes to take power back and mobilize the world outside his prison cell in support of the Palestinian prisoners' struggle. Sustained arbitrary arrests and medical neglect led to Khadr's death. The Palestinian Human Rights Organizations Council thus viewed Khadr's killing as premeditated murder by the Israeli regime. Israeli prison services were holding Khadr in solitary confinement and refused his family visitation rights right up to his death. He survived by his wife and 9 children. In his lifetime, Hadar Adnan carried out 6 hunger strikes. His first protest in 2004 lasted 25 days and popularized hunger strikes as an accessible means of resistance within the regime's military prison system. His second hunger strike in 2012, that lasted 66 days, was joined by hundreds of prisoners and triggered an international movement for the freedom of Palestinian prisoners. In 2015, he went on his third hunger strike for 56 days against another administrative detention. In 2017, Khadr was again arrested and went on a 58-day hunger strike. His fifth 25-day-long strike was directed at his penultimate arrest in 2021. During his most recent arrest in February, Israeli forces raided his home and terrorized his family. Khadr was no stranger to civil disobedience, therefore responded by immediately going on an open hunger strike. Israeli prison services retaliated with isolation orders, renewed every 2 weeks without review. He was held under deplorable conditions and was subjected to regular abuses. When Khadr fell seriously ill in April, ISP refused to transfer him to a hospital. Khadr was found unconscious in isolation in Ramallah Prison Clinic on May 2nd. Using deliberate medical neglect, indefinite isolation, and detention extensions, the regime foresaw and facilitated Khadr's death. He was killed behind the bars, a fate shared by over 233 Palestinian political prisoners. The international community's failure to intervene amplifies past evidence that international law is just a tool for the colonizer regime of Israel, not Palestinians. It shows that the international community aids and abets the Israeli regime's crimes by its deafening silence that today rings loud after the death of Khadr Adnan. Palestinians rallied in Gaza City as shops closed during a general strike following the death of Palestinian hunger striker Khadr Adnan in Israeli custody. In his hometown near Jenin, in the occupied West Bank, Adnan's 9-year-old son, Ali, led a protest march. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shataya described the death of Adnan, who was arrested in the occupied West Bank, as a deliberate assassination.
The Palestinian cabinet holds the Israeli occupation, the prison authorities and all its agencies fully accountable for the martyrdom of Khadr Adnan. And we consider this a deliberate assassination by rejecting his request for release, neglecting him medically and keeping him in his cell despite the seriousness of his health condition.
Also, different Palestinian factions held the regime responsible for his death, saying that Israel will pay dearly for its crime.
The occupation bears full responsibility, and we will carry out our role in confronting those crimes and those assaults, in particular this crime which led to the martyrdom of Sheikh Hero Khadr Adnan.
Gaza-based Hamas resistance movement has also warned that the Israeli crime will not go unanswered. Also, the Fatah movement of President Mahmoud Abbas has called for immediate international action in support of Palestinians languishing in Israeli jails. According to Palestinian Prisoner Society, 4,900 Palestinian detainees are currently in Israeli jails, with 1,000 of them being held in administrative detention without charge. That's the highest number since 2003. People squeezed by inflation and demanding economic justice took to streets across Europe to mark May Day in an outpouring of worker discontent not seen since before the worldwide COVID-19 lockdowns. But what is May Day and why is it celebrated on May 1st? Also referred to as International Workers' Day, people across the world commemorate the contributions of workers and the labor movement on this day. Although observed as an ancient Northern Hemisphere spring festival initially, May 1st became associated with the labor movement in the late 19th century, after trade unions and socialist groups decided to designate it as a day in support of the working class people. The decision was taken in memory of Chicago's Haymarket Affair, which took place on May 4th, 1886, when a violent clash broke out between the police and labor protesters. The incident happened after a bomb went off at Haymarket Square in Chicago, where the police had arrived to break a peaceful rally. Ultimately, 7 police officers were killed and 60 others were injured before the violence ended. It's estimated that 4 to 8 civilians died and 30 to 40 were wounded. Many of the protesters who were demonstrating against workers' rights violations, long work hours, poor working conditions, low wages, and child labor were arrested and served terms of life imprisonment, death sentences, and so forth. And those who died were hailed as Haymarket martyrs. The Haymarket affair had a lasting effect on the workers' movement and helped push forward the demands for better working conditions across the world. This year's May Day events unleashed pent-up frustration after 3 years of COVID-19 restrictions. For months, Europe has seen a series of strikes as workers demand higher wages in the face of record-high inflation rates. In the 19-nation eurocurrency zone, the annual inflation rate was at an all-time high of 10.6% in October. It retreated slightly to 10.1% in November, but that was still the second-highest monthly rate since the creation of the euro in 1999. Hundreds of thousands of people massed in cities around France to vent their anger against President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform. Protests took a violent turn as the day progressed, with protesters and security forces clashing. Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin told reporters that at least 108 police officers were wounded, with 291 detained across the country. Protesters threw projectiles at police and broke windows of business buildings, including banks and estate agents in Paris. Security forces used tear gas and water cannons in return. Trade unions had called for more than 300 rallies and vowed to continue fighting even after the changes were signed into law. Protests had started largely peacefully, although police in Paris arrested 22 people, while in Lyon, police used tear gas to disperse crowds after bank windows were smashed. Sophie Binet, leader of the CGT union, said Macron's pension reform had left her isolated.
You just have to look at the procession behind. You can see that today is a historic May Day. There hasn't been such an important May Day in France since 1936, so we can't talk about running out of steam. We can't talk about decay. We can see that this day of mobilization is a stinging denial of all the bets made by the government and of the choice that the government was thinking of making to force us to turn the page.
Protesters mobilized against President Emmanuel Macron's recent move to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Organizers see pension reform as a threat to hard-fought worker rights, while Macron argues it's economically necessary as the population ages.
Canada and one of the largest industrial actions in the country's history. Some 155,000 public workers are on strike in a dispute with the government over pay. While wages are a primary sticking point, the unions also want remote work included in their collective agreement. Cleaners and cooks, clerks and maintenance workers, tradespeople, Coast Guard search and rescue teams, teachers, firefighters, and workers who process employment insurance, passport applications, and immigration documents have now walked out of their jobs.
And I can tell you that we do not have a tentative agreement. The Public Service Alliance of Canada, 155,000 members, will be on strike as of 12:01 a.m. We will remain at the table. We will remain for as long as it takes during the strike. And we will remain on strike until the government addresses our key issues.
The strike has already disrupted public services in various sectors. Lawyers say the strike has affected everyone from refugee claimants whose hearings are cancelled to sponsored relatives stuck in limbo and from migrant workers to foreign students. The workers' union have failed to reach an agreement with the federal government in an effort to bring the industrial action to an end. On Saturday, the Canadian government negotiators presented the striking public workers with what they called a final offer. The Treasury Board, which oversees public administration, said details are being kept to the negotiating table, but the proposal included an enhanced wage offer and addressed issues including telework, seniority, and contracting. In a statement, the Treasury Board called the offer fair, competitive, and reasonable. The offer, however, has so far failed to bring the strikes to a halt. The workers are escalating their strike action in a bid to block several Canadian ports to pressure the government to get their demands met, including raising wages in line with the cost of living crisis and the soaring inflation. This is while inflation in Canada rose to a peak of more than 8% last June. It is expected to remain above 3% until the fourth quarter of this year. The strikes in Canada come as the country is gripped with an unfathomable economic crisis that includes soaring food insecurity. A chief executive of one of the country's leading food banks, the Daily Bread, said hundreds of thousands of people stream in each month to get food.
We are absolutely in a food crisis in the country and certainly in the city of Toronto. Before the pandemic, we saw about 60,000 clients saying, "I'm food insecure." And that number this past March is 270,000. It has escalated by four times, and in a country as wonderful as Canada is, it just shouldn't be that way.
Hetherington said of the newcomers to the 128 food banks across the Toronto area affiliated with the Daily Bread, many have full-time jobs but still can't make ends meet. Visitors to food banks in other parts of Canada also echo sense of despair and need with long queues to get something to eat at food banks. Hetherington said accommodations, both rentals and homes for sales, are out of reach for many Canadians across the country. This comes at a time when a lengthy period of higher rates could force an increasing share of highly indebted Canadians to reset their mortgages at levels that squeeze their finances. But regardless of all the economic hardships the Canadian people are going through, the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spent 1.32% of its GDP on defense in the fiscal year of 2021-2022. Canadian authorities also continue with their pledge to provide Ukraine with military support in its war with Russia. After all, Canada has been one of the most vocal supporters of Ukraine and has provided billions of dollars in financial and military assistance to Kyiv since January 2022. Apart from that, Canada is the sixth largest contributor to NATO's common funded budget by allocating 13.7% of defense spending on major equipment in 2021 and 2022. Canadian authorities claim that the assistance is for Ukraine in what they call its fight for democracy. They, however, know perfectly well that they are using billions of dollars of the Canadian taxpayers' money to inject into a war which does not serve Canada at all and only favors the expansionist policy of the United States. Instead, if this money is allocated to address Canada's internal economic concerns, what else can force more than 150,000 Canadians to walk out of their jobs and call for better pays, which would subsequently disrupt all public services and make public and private sectors dysfunctional?
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions and practical tajweed rules, step by step, verse by verse. Inshallah, we're here with you, and I really welcome you all. Thanks for joining IRIB English Radio. Fawad Haider, Salam, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, welcome, brothers. Is everyone fine?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, let's go and start our class, but let's say to our brothers and sisters that today we're going to work on Ayah 93rd of Surah Ali Imran on page 62, right? So everybody, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kullu at-ta'ami kana hillan li bani Isra'ila illa ma harrama Isra'ilu 'ala nafsihi min qabli an tunazzala at-Tawrah. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاةِ فَاتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. That was great. I really loved it. So, guys, let's inshallah practice this verse, okay? The first thing that inshallah we'll do is we'll have a short explanation, then we'll move on to the practical tajweed rules, the important ones. Yeah?
Inshallah.
Okay,
yes.
Inshallah. So, Allah Almighty says in Ayah 93rd of Surah Ali Imran, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kullu at-ta'ami kana hillan li bani Isra'ila illa ma harrama Isra'ilu 'ala nafsihi min qabli an tunazzala at-Tawrah. Qul فَأْتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاتِ فَتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah Almighty says, all food was lawful to the children of Israel, Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, Jacob, except what Israel, Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, had forbidden himself before the Torah was sent down. Say, قُلْ, bring the Torah. فَأَتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاتِ, and read it. فَتْلُوهَا, should you be truthful. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Well, actually, this ayah goes back to a story where, I mean, the occasion is this, that some of the Jewish people, okay, they were saying, like, for example, some other foods is haram. And their reason was that, well, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, they didn't use this, okay? And then they were inferring, they were saying that these things are haram to drink, but Muslims do, yeah? And then the Prophet says, prove it, if you're right. كُلُّ طَعَامِحْ كَانَ حِلَّا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Prove it, if you're right. They would say that, well, it's in the Torah. Prophet was saying, like, bring the Torah. قُلْ فَأَتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاتِ. Prove it. It was not because Allah Almighty made it haram, and you're saying that Muslims, you're doing a haram thing while Allah Almighty has forbidden it. No, you can't prove it. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَتْلُوهَا, okay? فَأَتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So guys, there are, I just want to tell a message, okay? Something I understand from this ayah. Well, actually, ladies, like sometimes, okay, people might bring some kind of rules, okay, which we actually do not know where they come from. Sometimes people don't know from the Quran, they say something wrong about the Quran, okay? Rules or things which are not in the Quran. Sometimes they are in the Quran, but the people say they are not in the Quran, okay? Then we have to ask them for proofs. Simple as that. Okay, guys? But the tafsir of this ayah, there are a lot of things about this ayah, okay? The occasion of revelation, these things. Inshallah, you can refer to the tafsir books, interpretations, and learn more about them, okay?
Qur'ani, Qur'ani, Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Inshallah, now it's time to go and mention some important tajweed rules that inshallah, step by step, we'll move on. كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة كل الطعام كل الطعام. The Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped, right?
Yes.
And also, Lam al-Ta'rif, which is followed by a sun letter, Ta, so it will be as well skipped, yes? Kullu ta'ami. And also, the Ta has to be pronounced correctly, Ali Nasir, okay?
Yes.
Could you read it? Kullu ta'ami.
Kullu ta'ami.
أحسن. And also the letter عين that Fawaz sometimes is dealing with this in a very difficult way. But he has fixed it, alhamdulillah, you know? He has fixed it. Read it, Fawaz. كل الطعام. The عين.
كل الطعام.
أحسن. So he has fixed it. عين. طعام. كان حلا. حلا. حا. Is it? It's important, okay? حلا. Lam has a tanween. Yeah, if you stop here, you'd say Hilla, right? Stretch it, and you change the tanween to an alif mad.
Alif mad, yes.
But when you join it with the next word, the tanween will be merged with the letter lam. And so lam will be merged to the lam. Hillan instead, we read Hillalal. Without any nasal sound, just move on. Join them, that's all. Hillalibani. Bani, the mad is not wajib since Israel starts with a hamza. It's in another word. Bani is another word. Israel is another word. Israel. So, but they have mad on Israel. This is wajib, right?
Yes.
Wajib muttasil. And you should stretch it for 5 or 6 counts. Illa ma harrama. Illa ma. Pay attention to the a sound, the light sounds, okay? Illa ma. حرام رارا a heavy one إسرائيل على a sound نفسه. Do you see that fall on ya after ha?
Yes.
That's yamad also.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes we have the baby alif or the tiny alif. Sometimes we have the baby waw, the tiny waw. Okay. Sometimes we have that ya, the fallen ya. They all indicate the mad letters. Okay. They function the same as the waw ya alif mat letters. Min qabli nun sakin plus qaf is from the rest of the letters, as I think and I'm sure. Yes. So min qabl. So you do what?
Ikhfa.
Hide the sound, but with a heavy letter. Ikhfa with a heavy letter. Min qabli. قبلي
قلقلة
ما شاء الله. Bounce the sound, echo the sound. أن تنزل, again إخفاء, hide the sound. أن تنزل التوراة. When you stop, the letter ta مربوطة. Okay, مربوطة means this ta is called ta مربوطة, and the other ta is the stretched one, which is called ta مبسوطة. مبسوطة, the stretched one. So here it changes to the letter ha. And the haraka changes to sukun. Qila tells you, Hassan?
It's better to stop.
Better to stop. Qul fa'tu bittawrati fatluha. You can stretch the sound, but it's not mandatory. In kuntum. Both are ikhfa.
Two ikhfa, yeah.
Yeah. Sadiqeen. Stretch the sound at the end. Huh? It's not mandatory, but it's recommended, yes?
Yeah.
So, now we got 1 minute or 2 minutes to practice the recitation that with Tajweed Rules, alhamdulillah, we've learned now. So brothers and sisters, please listen carefully, inshallah, and let's practice all together. I'll read and make sure you repeat after me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه
كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه
إسرائيل the first one إسرائيل the second one إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة
إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة
قل فأتوا بالتوراة فاتلوها إن كنتم صادقين
قل فأتوا بالتوراة فاتلوها إن كنتم صادقين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله bless you. Thank you so much brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, we explained a bit about this ayah. And then we mentioned the important tajweed rules. We practiced the recitation. That's all from us for today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. Brothers here, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir. And inshallah, we'll be here again with you. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.